Good morning again. Greetings in the name of Christ. Be in prayer for our deacon board. You know, Brother Dwayne has been unable to be with us for a while. He's not doing well. Brother Orville is having some back issues, pretty serious. And we just got one back on duty today, Brother Jim. And Brother Jerry Taylor's tested positive for the COVID. So pray for our deacon board. If you turn with me to Revelation chapter 2 today, Revelation chapter 2. The letters to the seven churches in Asia. One of the churches is called Pergamos. And the thing about all these churches, they have different issues going on that are relevant to us. And we do well to attend unto the things the Lord says unto these churches. One of the things that he mentions here today to this church of Pergamos and all these churches except maybe one have some issues going on, and then the Lord commends you're doing this good and this good, but maybe over here we need to make some adjustments and do better. So we can always do better, but some good things and some places for improvement among most of the churches, but a word of encouragement. You know, in real time here, these people are going through some pretty challenging times, challenging times have always been for God's people, and we need to be encouraged. And even with their faults and failures, the Lord sends encouragement. You know, we are called as God's people to come together, and we are encouraged. We are edified. We are to edify the believers and build up the body of Christ. And hopefully we can leave on the Lord's Day and be better equipped and energized to face the struggles, the hardships, the battles that we face through the week. And then we come back to the next Lord's Day to be fed the Word of God, to joy in the Lord as we worship and praise Him, but to be refilled, to go out and to serve. Worship is over, service begins when we leave. Amen? All right, I want us to look at something that he says, a word of encouragement to the church at Pergamos. We begin reading Revelation 2, verses 12 through 17. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos, write these things, saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even as in the days wherein Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them there that hold to the doctrine of Balaam, which taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or else I will come to thee quickly, and will fight against thee with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. In verse 17, it said, to the faithful, hang in there, to the faithful, those who overcome, I will give unto him hidden manna. Hidden manna. What's he talking about there? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the hidden manna that nourishes our soul, that encourages us, that gives us strength and energy to carry on. I pray your blessings unto your people today. Might the Word of God be an encouragement unto us. Might it build us up. Might we find food for our thirsty and hungry souls here today. Pray for those watching, those here, dear Lord, and those who are seeking in all the wrong places to satisfy the deep hunger of the soul. I pray that they would come to the water of life today. They'd find the source of peace, commitment, and energy and strength and contentment in the body of Christ. Lord, bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Hidden manna. He's talking about spiritual nourishment. Spiritual nourishment. And he has promised to give his people, those who are faithful, will receive hidden manna. Hidden. It means that a lot of people don't know where to find it. It comes from the Lord. Hidden manna. What is manna? It is angel food. It sustained God's people for 40 years as they wandered in the wilderness. This mysterious angel food that just rained from heaven like the dew upon the ground, and they just, all they had to do is go out there and gather it one day at a time, and it sustained them. Some of them whined a little. God gave them quail and different things to eat, but manna sustained them. When they went in to conquer the land of Jordan, when they crossed the Jordan River, it ceased. No more manna. But for 40 years, it sustained them. It's angel food. As God's people, we have hopefully discovered that the hunger that is in our soul, something that tells us something is missing in my life, we have searched for and we've come to knowledge of Christ, we find that that is met. And we find spiritual nourishment, dear Lord, that satisfies the hunger of a soul that we've tried many places, many things to find, but only Jesus met that need. That promise to that continuing nourishment, just like the manna that fell to the children of Israel, is promised to God's people. You know, if we will follow Him, if we'll follow His Word, that He will give us and sustain us. God sustained His people in the wilderness. He will sustain us today in challenging situations if we will continue to follow Him and His Word. This spiritual nourishment is promised to the faithful. Jesus is the bread of life. The secret to living the successful Christian life is to acknowledging the source of life. He is the bread of life. Over in the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. Now, Jesus fed multitudes at least twice, at least two different times, over thousands of people there, two different times, with bread and fish. He fed people, and they kind of like that. They kind of like that. Now, we're going to attempt to feed the hungry of our community next Saturday here at 11. Till 1, and we hope to meet some needs in our community. We hope also not only to feed the physical needs, but to share the gospel with Jesus. Now, if we're hungry, it's important that we get something to eat. We're called to meet physical needs. Jesus honored that as he fed hungry people out in the desert. I will not send them away to faint and away. I will not let people leave here hungry and on their own, you know, to survive. He fed the hungry. We are called as Christians today of his church to address and to meet needs of people, physical needs. Some people are hungry. Not too many are hungering in our country today, but there are people who are hungry, and we must not neglect that. However, the most important thing is to see that these people find out the source of spiritual nourishment. That's something that will satisfy the longing in the soul. You know, the bread is good for a little while, but we'll get hungry again. After Jesus fed people, he had great multitudes of people following him. And in the 6th chapter of John, these people are following him, he says, because of the bread that you did eat. Jesus said in verse 26, "Verily I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled." And that's good. It was a real need. It was needful. He says, "Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him hath God the Father sealed." There come a time in the ministry of Jesus to where he had to draw back from doing the miracles and feeding the physical bread and start talking about the bread of life, the manna that will sustain you into the world to come, an everlasting life. And he taught these people about manna. And they said, "How much, what more can you do for us? We know that our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. Our fathers," in verse 31, "did eat manna in the desert, as is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Angel bread fed them. Wouldn't it be a good idea, wouldn't it be grand and great if you would continue to feed us bread and fish, and we can just live happy ever after here on this planet? And Jesus said, you need to know something about the spiritual food. You need to know something about this hidden manna, this kind of manna that you would eat, you would live forever. In John 6 and 47, he said, "He that believeth in me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life." And here's where it got confusing to these people. They had eaten the bread that he miraculously gave to them and divided the loaves and the fishes. By the way, that was a powerful miracle to be able to feed 5,000 people, 4,000 people with a few loaves and fishes. Powerful miracle. This would be wonderful if we continue this. Our fathers ate it in the wilderness for 40 years. Maybe you can feed us for 40 years. Wouldn't that be grand? And Jesus starts saying here, "I am the bread of life." What's he talking about? Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. They ate manna for 40 years. God says those of that first generation who refused to inherit the promised land will die in the wilderness. You will wander aimlessly for 40 years. Even though you live on manna, you're still going to die. They ate the manna for 40 years in the wilderness, and they are dead. "This is the bread that cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." You see the difference? that manna that rained from heaven, that they eat it, sustain life for 40 years maybe, but they still died. They still died. I want to talk to you, he said, about some manna that a man eat and he will not die. We're talking about eternal life. The bread that a man may eat thereof and not die. I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If a man eat thereof this bread, he shall live forever. We are talking about eternal life. People weren't interested in it. Yeah, but give us something to eat now. We want something now. We want it and we want it now. They were challenged to think about eternity. They were challenged to think about spiritual things like people today. Worldly minded, only thinking about now and what satisfies the flesh for now. He went on to say, if a man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, and I will give for the life of the world. What are you talking about? We're not interested in that. Just give us something to eat. And he goes on, my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink. He that eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him. You know, and you can live forever. Jesus said, I've come to offer you everlasting life. Not just 40 years of living off of manna, but everlasting life. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. You see the difference in the bread of life and that bread that sustained them? That was the bread they were interested in. That is the bread people are interested in today. Why? Because it satisfies the flesh for the moment, temporarily. But he says, this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Again, the concept of everlasting life. What about the soul that's within you? The flesh is content with just having a good time until it dies, but the soul said, whoa, wait a minute, I've got to live somewhere else when this body lays down. What about me? Why am I here? Why am I created? Where am I going, you know? What am I supposed to do in between? And where am I going to spend eternity? That deep part of the soul is pondering those questions in the stillness of a night when we're alone, when we are faced to be who we are. They weren't interested. You know what they said? Well, we don't understand what you're talking about, giving your body and your flesh, and it'll be food, and it'll be the bread of life, and if man eat of that, he'll live forever. This is too challenging. All we want is something to eat. And they said, these are hard sayings, who can hear them? And then it says, and many of them went back and walked no more. They said, we've had enough. So you're telling us you're not going to feed us today. You're not going to give us the bread. You're not going to have the free dinner today. I'm afraid so, because we're headed to the cross, and now we've got to start talking about something far more important than a free meal. A hot meal. We're going to talk about everlasting life. And they couldn't handle it. And they said, meal, so long. The free meals are cut off. We're gone. Jesus asked the disciples, will you go away also? And Peter says, essentially, there is nowhere else for us. We have made our commitment, God's people. We are committed. We are in this. There is nowhere for us to go because you have the words of life. Jesus has the words of life. We believe and know that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and He has the words of life. He has that hidden manna for us. He is hidden to the world. Jesus says to the church at Pergamos, I will give you of the hidden manna. Something that the world is searching for and cannot see. They can't see it and touch it. They can't perceive it. But you know it's real. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 and verse 6, He said, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who have a desire for the soul to be nourished, who seek righteousness. You shall be filled. You won't be disappointed if you spiritually seek for the Lord to give you the hidden manna. If you seek for that, you will not be disappointed, for they shall be filled. Why is the world not being filled? They are not looking for the nourishment in the right places. They're looking in the things of this world. The blessed are those who hunger and thirst for the righteous. They'll be filled. They will have that deep hunger of the soul will be filled, and nourishment will be granted to them by God. You know, that's hidden manna to the world. Hopefully it's not hidden to God's people. But for those who do not know Jesus, they don't know anything about the hidden manna, the blessings of God, that peace that satisfies the inner soul. They don't know what it's like to be able to go to sleep at night and to say, if I don't wake up tomorrow, it's good. They don't know what it means to face the hardships of life. Well, I'm in God's hands. It'll be all right, one way or the other. The world is trying to satisfy the hunger of their soul, just like these people that were following Jesus for the miracles. It was exciting when He raised the dead. It was exciting when He fed these multitudes. It was exciting to see a blind man born from birth receive his sight. It was exciting to see a cripple brought in a cot and he walking and leaping and praising God. These were exciting times. And people got kind of addicted to that. And when Jesus said, no more signs and miracles, you know, we got to focus upon the issue at hand, and that is the cross. We got to focus upon what I tried to get your attention by performing these miracles about, and that is your soul and where it's going to spend eternity. And I'm saying to you that you can live forever if you'll come to me, if you'll trust me. I'm telling you that you can have the hidden manna that will sustain your soul, that will give you encouragement, the blessings of God. It will be nourishment. We have the Spirit of God that encourages us. Now, one of the signs of the times, and we're seeing a lot of signs of the times, amen? You realize that yesterday those storms were exactly 2 years to the date. I'm told that the bad storms that took so many lives in Mayfield, Kentucky, and tore up Dresden, those devastating storms, 2 years to the date. Things that are beginning to happen, that God is trying to get people's attention. But when we look out into the world, we see people who are busy going about life. Now, with 8 billion people on the planet, but our behavior is essentially the same as it was when Jesus said these words, but of the days of Noah, were so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. We know there are nowhere near as many people alive on the planet in the days of Noah that there are today. But what were they doing? For in the days of Noah, before the flood, they were eating and drinking. Filling the needs of the faith. Eating and drinking. Marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. They were pursuing the things of life that satisfy the needs of the flesh. Eating and drinking, going about life every day. That's what people are. If you think people ain't busy today, you can't get on the road anymore. Never seen traffic. I often wonder, where is everybody going in our little town of Camden? That, you know, that they tell us that our population has actually gone down in 10 years. I don't understand that. But you can't get on the road on a Friday in our town. And there's a lot of people here, but apparently they're not being counted in the censuses. But what are they doing and where are they going? Just to and fro, doing the things of this world, satisfying. Many of them are out seeking pleasure. They are trying to meet the need, that void in their soul that's crying out to them, you know, there must be something more to this thing called life than just existing and going and running and doing all these. And we'll try this and that, and riches and pleasures and all. Some people are seeking it in darkness and sin and wicked things, and some people are maybe good and decent people, but they're just busying themselves with hobbies and doing things, trying to make sense out of life and trying, really, a desperate attempt to fill a void in the soul that's crying out for some hidden manna. Crying out for hidden manna. Hopefully we'll have an opportunity next Saturday to minister some physical needs, some people who might be hungry, people who might appreciate a meal. And then we're going to tell them that there's something more important than this meal. We want to tell you about Jesus. This meal will help us for a while, but like the children of Israel, in 40 years, they're going to die anyhow. Let's talk about the manna, the bread of life, that which if man eateth, he'll live forever. Let's talk about, as God's people, the spiritual nourishment that we need. You know, some people find no need to assemble in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. I'm saved, I'm good, I'm okay to go. Listen, we need spiritual nourishment. The soul of the Christian, you know, and Jesus says here in this church at Pergamos, and it's a valid promise to us today, for the faithful, those who hold in there, I'll give you this hidden manna. I'll give you that that sustains you. I'll give you that that is hidden from the world. And people look at you and they don't understand. Why are you so encouraged? When the outlook of the world, when the world is crumbling around us, you know, when we can't even function anymore as a society and things are falling apart, what gives you hope? And that's an opportunity for a child of God to say the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have that hidden manna. People looking at it in the wrong places. And we do wrong. We do wrong when we say, as a church today, when we say, well, people ain't interested in it. That may be so, but some are interested. That does not relieve us of our obligation and calling to share the good news of Jesus. We have to try to reason with these people as best we can that there's more to life than something to eat. There's more to life than what meets the needs of the flesh. We are called to care and to meet the needs of the needy and to help them, but we're not to leave them there. We are to share the gospel to those There are people who are desperately seeking for some peace of mind. There are some people who are honestly searching for some meaning in life. There are some people who do think about dying, who do think about judgment to come, who do think about eternity, who think about it and think, well, what if those Christians are right? What if there is something in me? There is something inside of me that's crying out. It says, I'm going to live forever some more. What if that's real? Where does that leave me? The prophet said in Isaiah 55, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. He that hath no money, come by, eat. Eat that bread of life that satisfies the longing of the soul. Come by, eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money, without price. Travel to the ends of the earth. Some people are traveling all over the world trying to find the meaning of life. The Word of God says, Come without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? A lot of people investing in things that is not going to sustain the soul. Strictly focused upon the flesh and egos. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Doing everything in the world, but at the end of the day, we're not satisfied. At the end of the day, there is no peace. At the end of the day, there's something inside me crying out that there must be more to this grand story of life. There must be something more. Unsatisfied, running to and fro and trying this. There is one gadget after another being marketed today to tell you how to be better, how to feel better, how to better yourself, one thing after another, and they sell because we have an unquenchable thirst and hunger for something that will satisfy us. And the marketers have figured that out. And they're making fortunes because of something that is deep inside of us that wants to be satisfied, but it looks to the easy fixes. If I can just do this, if I can just have that, if I can just buy this or do that or go there and see this, it will bring me pleasure. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a season, but it is not lasting. Many are seeking their pleasures in sin to satisfy a longing, something that is not right in their life. The Word of God says that Moses forsook that, rejected the pleasures of sin for a season and chose to suffer affliction with God's people because the pleasures of sin are temporary. They do not last. Only satisfy for a while, and then we woke up broken. What a shame it is to see people waste their life, wake up broken, unsatisfied, and miserable. When all along we can come, those who are hungry and those who are thirsty, come without money. We just need to go to the source. Incline your ear. People are going for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. What is good? that hidden manna, the bread of life. Let your soul delight itself in the fatness. Incline your ear. Come unto me here, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. As Christians, we ought to know what satisfies the soul. Amen? The old, old story. Why is it that the Christian never gets tired of the gospel? If we ever get tired of the gospel, then we've got a problem. Amen? If God's people get tired of the gospel, here's the reason. It's found in a line of this song. I'll either read to you or sing this one line. And listen to it. If you're a Christian, you know this. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. Do you know that? I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I know it is true because it satisfies my longings. That's why we never get tired of the gospel. That hidden manna that Jesus has promised to the faithful. Those church in Pergamos, those who were struggling with the ins and outs of life, under persecution, perilous times, church persecutions, things going on, they were living lives like we were too, facing issues. And Jesus said, for those, if you'll hold on, those who are faithful, I will give you some hidden manna. We need hidden manna. To the world it is hidden, but to us who are saved, we know what it is. If there's one watching today or is here today live with us and you're not saved, down deep in your heart you know that you're not at peace. You're not at peace. Jesus is the bread of life that came down, whereby that if you can eat, if you can identify with His death, burial, and resurrection, you can live forever. Some of the early skeptics of Christianity spread false rumors. And when the early church took communion, some of those people said, those Christians drink blood. They eat flesh. They didn't know what it was. But if you can identify with the death, burial, and the resurrection, come to terms with that, repent of your sins, come to Jesus with saving faith, you can have that manna that will sustain you throughout eternity. Church, there is no use for us to go around malnutritioned. Jesus has promised nourishment, that hidden manna, that manna that the world does not see or know. You know why it doesn't believe in it? Because it can't see it. Jesus said that's why they don't believe in the Holy Spirit, because they can't see it. They got to have something. Stephen Hawking said, I got to be able to prove it besides to believe it. And that's the way the world is today. But it is by faith. Hidden manna promised to the faithful. Are you interested? And I'm going to ask Brother Jack to come up. We're going to have a song of invitation. what it would be like. And I hope that as Christians you can all say what I'm about to say. And I want to say to you who have not yet come to saving faith, you have not yet committed your soul into the safekeeping to Jesus Christ. You've not yet committed your life into Him. Wouldn't you like to be able to say this in church? We need to be able to say this. When Jesus had the interaction with the woman at the well, John chapter 4, He shared the good news of the kingdom, changed her life. His disciples came back. They had gone to get dinner, to bring Him something to eat. And they wondered, had somebody else brought Him something to eat? And you know what He said unto them? I have meat to eat that you know not of. Christian, you need to be able to say that to the world. They say, why are you so encouraged today? Why are you so happy today? It's because we have meat to eat that the world don't know about. And that's available for you. The Bible says, come without price. Come to Jesus today. Let's stand together as we sing.